All right, welcome everyone. My name is Erin Schaefer, and I'm the Graduate Assistant at the Women's Center. I'd like to welcome you to our Spring 2012 Women on Wednesday series, Exploring and Making Visible Women's Intersecting Identities. This semester series on women's intersecting identities will explore the rich layers of women's multiple identities and how these intersections shape their lived experiences and perceptions. We are disappointed to announce that Voices Merging was not able to join us today, but we have an excellent panel assembled to talk about an issue that every woman in our society faces, namely the choice about whether or not to become a mother. A few items before we get started. Please turn off your cell phones, and also please stay seated until 12:50 as a courtesy to our speakers. If you could fill out the evaluation form, so we use your feedback for future programming. Also, the Women's Center will be showing the film, Misrepresentation, next Wednesday, March 28th, in honor of National Women's History Month. Misrepresentation is a documentary that challenges the limited and often disparaging portrayals of women and girls in the media. Our session today is titled, The Decision to Mothering, To Be or Not to Be. Choosing whether to become a mother or not, as well as how to mother, for existence, with a partner or not, are complex decisions that dramatically shape women's lives. To make these decisions even more complicated, women are faced with multiple, often conflicting messages about which path they should take and when. In fact, women face disapproval, judgment, and even discrimination if they break society's rules in their decisions. For instance, in spite of the recent trend of women choosing to partner up and become mothers later due to career aspirations, desire for freedom, or financial goals, women are still expected to partner up and to have children early in adult life. Our panelists will discuss their decisions and resulting identities around the issue of mothering, including all the benefits and challenges. Their bios will be evident as they will answer questions about the choices they make. We are very grateful to have them here with us today. Please join the Women's Center in welcoming Anne Kofel, Casey Bjornson, Angie Witte, and Yur Tao. So the first question is, could you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your various identities?
My goal was not to be sitting on the edge so I wouldn't have to go first, and I blew it right from the start. So I did want to say we understand that some people might have come here thinking it was a different program, so if people do feel the need to leave right at the start, we won't feel like you're being rude. But we hope you'll stay, because we have found ourselves pretty entertaining already. we just met each other. I'm Anne Kofel. And my various identities are, I'm a mother. I adopted my daughter when she was 9 years old. On Friday, we will celebrate 15 years of being a family together. So she's 24 now. I am a single mother, so I am parenting without a partner. And I'm also a lawyer. I work at St. Cloud Area Legal Services. I'm a granddaughter, and I'm an aunt, and a daughter, and have each of those roles has been important to me in my decision to parent.
My name is Yur Tao. I'm 21 years old. I'm an accounting major, management minor. I'm interested in corporate accounting. What can I really say about myself? Still a student, so not really established yet. So that's basically it for now.
Maybe I should move closer. Okay, so my name is Angie Witte. I am 40 years old. I was adopted when I was 9 months old. I was born in South Korea. I was adopted to a white family in central Minnesota and lived in a small white town. If any of you are familiar with Foley, that would be where I was from. I identify as a Korean woman of color. And to be honest with you, how do I say this? Anybody familiar with the Kinsey Scale of Sexuality? I would say that though I live a heterosexual life, if I was to take the Kinsey scale, I would not place myself on a strictly heterosexual end. But I absolutely do live my life and recognize the privilege that I live being as a heterosexual person. So that would be I work here at Multicultural Student Services at St. Cloud State, and I'm finishing my master's degree too, so those are a few other things.
Sorry.
It's okay. I'm Casey Bjornson. I'm 30. I'm a bisexual female, which I hesitate to admit because I'm also a daughter. I'm newly single and kind of reconnecting with myself and what it means to be a friend and a godmother, which to me are the two most important roles in my life.
What were the factors that led to your decision to mother or not mother?
Well, I was at 40 at the time I made that decision. I now conclude I'm the oldest one here. I figured that out. I'm sure nobody else had figured that out by looking at us, but I had I was single at the time, and I had been very active in my nieces and nephews' lives, and being in their lives was very important to me. But I wanted to. I wanted to have a different role, and so I decided that I wanted to be a mother. And I considered whether or not I would go the normal route of having a baby biologically, or adopting a baby, or adopting a child from the foster care system. And I put aside having a baby because I thought there are lots of kids who need help, and who need a mom, don't need help, but need a mom. And that, and I couldn't. It didn't really make sense to me to have having a baby to fulfill my desire to be a mother seemed kind of selfish when there were kids out there who needed a mom, and if I wanted to be a mom, I could be their mom. So I made that decision, and then I had to decide whether to adopt a baby, which probably would have been an overseas adoption, or to adopt a child from the foster care system. I'm in charge of the office that I work in. It's a really demanding job, and I thought it would have been really hard for me to parent a baby and balance all those needs of particular needs of babies when in the adoption decision. So I decided that I would adopt a child between the ages of 5 and 12. And then I went through the whole process, which is really scary, but this is an adoption panel, so I won't tell you about it. But I had decided that I would take any child that came to me. And so when I was having my home study, the social worker said, I have just the child in mind for you. And it was a 12-year-old girl, and I decided that I did not want to start parenting somebody who was just going into puberty. So I decided I was not skilled enough to do that, which is a good decision. And in hindsight, I look back and think about the challenges of parenting and probably the challenges of parenting, whether you start at age 9 or start at age as an infant, are equally challenging. So I'm not sure that I had good analysis there, but I ended up with the right child, who is my daughter. So I think that's where I was meant to be.
Well, as for me, my decision is to not to become a mother, and that is because I think it's my personal experiences where I have witnessed multiple bad parenting and poor unsuccessful marriages. So from there, I decided that why do I want to put myself in such a position? And just also my personal decision that I don't feel that I'm a mother material. So why do I want to make, if I do have a child, why do I want to make him or her suffer if I'm not going to be the best mother for him or her? Also, I am an individual who is strongly aiming for an established career goal, and I find it to be hard to balance having both a successful career, and I'm a workaholic, so I want to dedicate all my time to my career. So it'll be hard to do that while balancing out your family and your kids. So then it leads back to the kids thinking, oh, my mother is never there for me, so why do I want a kid who would think that of me? Also, I have my nieces and nephews, so I treat them as my own kids, and although I have experienced multiple comments of they won't love me as much as they love their parents. I don't think that matters at all. I think the only thing that matters is that I do get their loving in some shape or form, and that I'm able to lead them as a good influence. Also, I think I just, I might be just, this might be, make me look bad, but I might just have realized how I am a business thinker, so I think all of you would know how selfish business people are. So I think from then I'm starting to realize I'm quite a selfish person myself, and I don't want to put that burden upon a child. So those are my factors.
I would say that I'm now at this point in my life, I'm in the middle. In my younger years, I was absolutely never going to have children. Never, ever, ever, ever. If I entertained the idea at all about having a child, it was that I was going to adopt, and I was going to adopt as a single woman. In fact, I always had this thought that I was adopted, I would eventually like to adopt a child to kind of give back or like work that experience from the parent perspective versus having lived it from the adopted child perspective. So I just never saw a man in my life as far as that went. I was just like, I'm going to do this on my own. I didn't, a lot like you said, I've seen a lot of poor, unhealthy, unhappy marriages. I've watched a lot of I've seen a lot of bad examples of parenting. And so I was just very, very hesitant to do that. So it wasn't until I was 35 that I actually was comfortable with the idea of becoming a parent. And my partner will have been together like 18 years this fall, I believe. But in the earlier years of our relationship, he drank. It was not abusive, but it was not the healthiest of relationships. And at the time, I couldn't like put my finger on it, and I couldn't identify it. But I was always very like, just not ready to have kids. Don't really know if I ever want to have kids. And then wonderfully, beautifully for us, he stopped drinking, and it's been 10 years now. But it wasn't until he stopped drinking that I actually entertained the idea of having a kid. And what I realized wasn't that I didn't want to have a kid. I didn't want to have a kid with him in the relationship that we had prior to that. And when those factors changed, then because I have always said I never want to be, I'm not the stay-at-home mom type. I wanted somebody who was going to be in it 50% with me, which everybody can laugh about that. But I had this idea in my head that parenting and family responsibility and things like that was always going to be 50%. I was not going to be one of those women who cooked and cleaned all day long and worked 40 hours a week. I was like, that's BS. I'm just not in it for that. So we've had one, and then so the kind of twist, the flip here is we've also taken measures to make sure we only have one. My joke is I turned 40 this year and we got a vasectomy. So and it was a very practical choice. I can't afford to put two in daycare. When my daughter just had things like she was allergic to dairy and all of these things, and so like when she was little, her grocery bill was like $50 or $80 a month on top of $135 a week for daycare, on top of about $500 every 3 months for new clothes. There was just, and I was looking at it and I was like, we can't, if we had a second one, it'd have to be a girl. She'd have to be born in about the same month Marissa was born in, so we can reuse all the same clothes and like it was just, and then I thought to myself, also going along what you were saying, is my selfishness. I kind of wound a little tight. I get a little, and I know I kind of don't know how well I would handle two, especially if you've got a little one, the amount of time it takes that you have to give of yourself to parent. I didn't want to end up being short and kind of snotty and that with the older child. And so I was like, you know what? I think these are enough reasons, enough signs to look at this and say, it's okay. I can live with the fact that I don't know that I was ever meant to have more than one. If it was the simple idea of just having a child, I would be totally fine with that. In fact, if I could skip the raising kids, I would love to have like 5 kids. Seriously, like 20 years from now, 3, 4, 5 kids coming home for holidays, having those family. But I know I do not have what it takes to get through those tough years to end up with that. So that's kind of where my decisions to mother and not mother have gone.
In looking at this question, I kind of felt like it could be answered much like that job interview question, what are your weaknesses? Irresponsibility, immaturity, total lack of time management skills, you know, the list goes on. But it is a serious thing because it is, you know, I mean, parenting is one of the most important jobs you're going to have. You're responsible for getting this new person to become a productive member of society, and quite frankly, I lack the credentials. Which, I mean, I think that's important too to know about yourself. Like, I'm glad that other people said it. I'm incredibly selfish with my time. Like, I'm impatient. I'm selfish with my time, and that's not good for any children. And then also, I kind of think that there is, I guess, an ecological point or component to it for me as well. You know, back in the day, like, my mom has 10 siblings. And where that may have made sense because they were growing up on a farm and, you know, they needed the help or whatever, like, I feel like it's kind of irresponsible. And no offense to, you know, people with big families, just for me personally, I feel like it would be irresponsible to have a larger family. So my not breeding is going to take one off the table, you know? But yeah, those are my reasons, I guess.
What are the benefits of being mother, and what are the benefits of being childless?
Well, I get to respond to what they say because they get to hear. So I did want to add, in terms of the credentials to be a mother, that my daughter has said things to me like, I really wonder why they let someone with so little patience adopt. That surprises me. And another time she said, how come you handle the little things so poorly and the big things so well? So even if you have moved on beyond that or moved to the point where you think, well, maybe I could do it, you are reminded you really can't. But so I'm at a point, because my daughter is 24 and right now is doing well, that I can clearly see the benefits of being a mother, and the benefits are when they're 24. And when she called me on Sunday, and we're kind of getting a little soppy about things because it is our 15th anniversary of being a family coming up, and talking to me about, I don't know where I'd be without you, and my realizing I don't know where I'd be without her as well. It really it changed both our lives for the good. But the other thing that it has taught me, and the other benefit is she has taught me the importance of being involved in other children's lives. When she was 9 or 10 or 11, she was kind of collecting adult women in her life, all strong, good women. And it was actually kind of offended me, because here I am, I'm a strong, good woman. And why wasn't I good enough? So I, probably showing why I'm not that good of a parent, said why, I don't think I asked it like this, but kind of was, why aren't I good enough? Why do you need these other women? And what she told me is, she said, you love me because you're my mom, and you're a good mom. But and so you would love any child that was your child. Now, I don't really believe that, which is why I only adopted one, because I wasn't convinced I could love another child as much as I love her. But she said, you're a good mom. That's what moms do. They love their kids. And these people love me, and they don't even have to. And that's when I realized how important it was to be a godmother, to be an aunt, to be a friend to the coworkers who bring their kids into my office, that's why it's important. Parenting is important, but being involved in the lives of kids that you are not a parent to is also important. And she taught me that. The other thing she taught me, and she taught me this early on, is that you have to be careful the influence you have on children, because I am not a neat person. So if cooking and cleaning was part of the criteria, I would have failed that. In fact, when they did the adoption home study, they made me, because I'm a single parent, made me bring a support system in for them to make sure I had one. And one of my brother-in-laws said, you know, you should have just rented an apartment and brought everybody in. We wouldn't have told, and they would never have known. But my daughter had been with me 9 months. We adopted in March, and we had our finalization in December. And I said, we should have a party to celebrate this. And my daughter said, well, I don't know, because then we just have to clean the house. So there is nurture as well as nature.
So being that I don't have a child, I can't really give really examples of the benefits of being childless, but through observations, it gives you, well, I see that it would give you more time to focus on yourself and your goals, because I have seen plenty of mothers who have held back from the goals because they are trying to support their family, like Angie, financially and just through encouragement. And with that support takes a lot of time. So it cuts away your time from focusing on yourself. So being childless, it gives you time to focus on yourself and your goals and your career. It definitely is less stressful. You don't have to worry about cooking for someone else. Yes.
Or going to the deli.
Yes. It's also less worries because you don't have to constantly worry, oh, is my child sick? Is my child doing good at school? Is my child being fed well? Or if I'm spending enough time with my child? So being childless, it just cuts all of those worries. And wouldn't you want to live life with less worries? We're already stressing enough as students, right? So, also, this is a personal opinion, but being childless, it gives me more time and resources to take care of my parents. I find my parents a big influence in my life, and both ways you could say that. Don't you want your kids to take care of you the same way? But I don't think of it as that way. I just think of it as my parents have done plenty for me, so it's my turn to be able to give back to what they have given to me. So through my successful career, which I wouldn't have to be held back from because of a child, I will be able to take them to trips, which they really want. So that would be a really good thing. Motivation. You could say a child could be motivation too, but being childless, it could also mean more motivation, because just personally, I'm just a self-motivated person. So you get those thoughts that, oh, I should do this in life. So I motivate myself to get those things done. You are, so if a woman is in a relationship and if she's childless, she doesn't have to be held back from being in a bad relationship or being unsatisfied with the relationship, because there's no child to be involved with breaking that bond. And I just find it harder because I think there's a higher percentage of divorce rates. So I see it as being childless, you are able to make that divorce or that separation or that breaking up, if you're not even a married couple, easier, because there's no child that you both have to worry about. And with the investment these days, I'm assuming that everyone knows about the overpopulation. So I don't want to contribute to that. So be green. And it also means I am a responsible person, but it's just having being childless, it means you have less responsibilities on your plate. And I'm sure everyone just wants to go home after a long day at work and just relax, not having to take care of a child or not having to worry as much.
I think the benefits of being a mother are partially for me selfish, and then some of them are just so some things I tell people that I just love about being a mother. My daughter really likes to cuddle, and I love it. Since she's been a baby, now she's four, if we're taking a nap, she reaches up and she just rubs her hands on my face and she just does this. Or if we're sleeping, she'll reach over and she'll pull my arm around her waist and she just wants to hug. Or she'll come up and say, "Mom, can we snuggle? Let's get a blanket and snuggle." And I love it. Like, that is just, that is so priceless. I would give up everything. I'd live in a box on a street if I knew she would still do that with me, you know, 20 years from now. Like, it's just perfect. So I guess all of my things that they think are benefits are actually selfish in some way, shape, or form. But being a mother has, what I like is it's raised an awareness in me. All of my schooling, the work that I do is really to me around like social justice. It's around fairness, equality, you know, raising good people, putting good, responsible citizens in the world. And so I've got all this book knowledge in my head. And then I have a three-year-old screaming at me or just doing crazy stuff, and I've got to go, oh my gosh, how do I put all of these values that I say I have that I've developed and hold dear, how do I make that real? How do I, it's that whole theory and practice, you know, walking the walk, talking the talk type of thing. And so she's helped me see my flaws, my inadequacies, and kind of raised the bar for me on what I expect of people and of myself. And so that's kind of come from it. She keeps me present. I think so oftentimes we either live in the past or we're looking ahead to the future, but oftentimes we're not like just grounded in what's actually happening right now in front of us. If you're in a conversation, you know, or even an argument, you know, you're thinking about what are you going to say next? How are you going to respond? So often, you know, we don't actually like stop actively listening to what's happening. And so I've found that like when I get home, she picks up on my garbage from the day so quickly, right? If I'm distracted in the car and I'm driving and I'm not talking to her, or if I'm, you know, if I'm mulling through things in my head and then I realize she picks up and her mood changes immediately. She'll go from, you know, pleasant, happy, whatever, to she'll get kind of behavioral stuff. She might get snotty. She might do things that are naughty to try to get my attention. And I'll realize I'm not here. I'm not. And it's not that she's being bad and she wants attention. It's that she knows I'm not there. And so the benefit to that is I have learned to leave work at work, leave other things where they are. And when I go home, I truly go home. And I'm doing the mom thing. You know, if I check email at all, it's a quick little thing on my phone, and if I can respond quick with a swipe, I do it, but I only respond if it's like absolutely necessary. It's made me draw clearer boundaries in my life. And so that's one of the other benefits, I would say. It's also given me a lot of empathy for my mother. We don't have a close relationship, and for many years I was very hard on her. And I remember one night giving my daughter a bath, and she was still a baby. And for those of you who've never had to care for someone else, I won't say been a mother, but if you've never had to care for someone, like we're washing the lotions, the powders, the everything, it's like such a caring process. I remember I just started crying because I was like, oh my gosh, I had no idea the love and care that was given to me by this woman, I assume, you know, though I don't necessarily feel like we had this bond. And so it was really kind of eye-opening for me to see what it is that people as caregivers go through that oftentimes the people receiving the care don't acknowledge or understand or know you've received. And so it's really made me look at caregiving a different way.
On this one, I wanted to bring like a prop scroll and just roll it out into the aisle. Like, yay, all the benefits of not being a mom. But then I realized prop comedy's dead. So I think the main benefit is pretty much what you already touched on. I can really focus on intellectual and career pursuits that are important to me. And also, as I mentioned earlier, like I'm really big about being a good friend to people. Like, I have a lot of really awesome people in my life. And it frees up my time to hopefully make an impact with them rather than screwing up somebody that doesn't already have their full identity intact. You know, I just feel like it's the main benefit is just that you can really focus. And I think you're just said it beautifully, that you can just focus on everything that you had intended to do with your life, and not be distracted by having a family, and then vice versa, not feeling guilty if you are distracted by your work and career goals when you do have a family. So,
did you ever feel like you were breaking society's rules in your choice to mother or not mother? And could you provide an example or a story?
Well, choosing to be a single mother definitely breaks society's rules, and although I feel a little guilty saying that, because I come from a position of privilege, I have a job that pays me certainly well enough, and I chose to be a single parent, and I did it in a way that I have rarely been labeled irresponsible. So that I acknowledge that this is breaking a rule and that some people think negatively of me for making that choice really lets me know what my clients, and most of my clients are women who many are victims of domestic violence and are single parents. So I think about, for me in my privileged position, facing even a little bit of that, what they must face. But I've become even more aware recently about being a single parent breaking the rules, and it's actually connected to the gay marriage or the anti-gay marriage amendment, because I've been in some discussions at my church and other places where people have been supporting that amendment. And when I one of the reasons they bring up is that people need two-parent, meaning two opposite-sex parent households. And if they know I'm a single parent, they look at me and say, well, you know, for the most part, studies show you need a two-parent household. And, you know, there are exceptions and things like that. But I have I'm not sad about this, but found myself allied with that, with my gay friends and my lesbian friends who've chosen adoption, because they recognize that kids need good parents. My daughter was born to a heterosexual married couple who could not parent her adequately. And I think that if you asked her, she would say that she probably wouldn't go beyond this, but would say, I have parented adequately. but so it does break the rules. It's... And as I say, as I mentioned, I say that from a position of privilege. Adopting an older child at age 9 also breaks the rules, and it forced me to adapt what my dreams of being a parent were. So I, you know, being a mom, being called mom. Well, my daughter calls me Ann. She doesn't call me mom except when she really wants something. Mommy. And then it doesn't work. It doesn't have quite the same ring to it as goodnight, mom, or something like that. So it does break the rules. And as I said, it's easy for me to say that for those who have not chosen to be a single parent, but have come to that either because of having a child and not being married, or having something happen in their marriage, it's even more difficult, I think.
As for me, I don't think my decision of not wanting a child has broken the rules of society, because I see it as society is growing and more women are becoming independent. They're not relying on a man, or they're not relying on others as much. So being childless, it's just another proof that you could do it by your own. You don't have to rely on someone else. You don't need to have that family bond to be someone who's loving, caring, and basically you could just say everything is all about personal opinions. I am sure people would have their own opinions on, oh, why don't you want a child? But then at the end, it falls under, yes, it's your own decision. So just take my decision into consideration. But there's no definite rules that, no, you should not, you should have a child. So.
I think because we waited so long to have children, like I say, being 35, usually people aren't well into their 30s when they decide to have children. And I think our choice to just have one also, a lot of people are accepting of that. But a lot of people look at us like, huh? Like, you don't want her to have a sibling? You don't want to have the real kicker is you don't want a son. I laugh out loud at that one. And I know people don't mean it mean, but I'll give you an example. When I went in for, when you're 35, they act like your body's falling apart when you're pregnant. And so they make you go for all of these ultrasounds because it's like, oh my God, you're at that 35 age mark. We got to have like three more. And so we were on our way for an ultrasound, and it was supposed to be the one where we would find out the biological sex of the child. And I'll be honest, I was like, oh, like, I really want a daughter. Please, I really, really want it to be a girl. And when we got to the parking lot and we were walking in, I just had this major like reality moment panic attack, and I was like, I started crying, and I was like, you know what, I don't care what the baby is, I said, but what I'm so worried about more than anything else is when they're in there looking around, they're gonna say we found something wrong with the baby, or we found something wrong with you. And I was like, wow, at that moment it really hit me, I didn't care what the sex was. And so having a son or a daughter just wasn't a part of the deciding factor for us to not have more, because in the end of the day, I just wanted, and I don't even want to use the term healthy child, because that's got some real negative connotations to it, right? I just wanted to have her without any like life-threatening complications to her or I guess I would say. And I think the other kind of challenge is kind of a professional challenge. I have a boss who is so cool that says, bring her with to the event, bring her to the program, that's okay. And I love that, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that he is so welcoming of like the family unit and the environment and things. But I'll be honest with you, I cannot, if I'm at work, I'm at work, and I'm trying to be a professional and do my job duties well. And if she's here with me, job goes straight out the window, because always the number one priority for me will be her. So it's hard. And so like trying to figure out like how that works with society's conceptions of how you're supposed to be as a professional. So that's my other challenge for breaking rule.
I guess I would say sort of. As far as breaking the rules, I've been lucky enough though to have a mom and a dad as well, who would never ever pressure me into like, oh, I want grandbabies. Well, too bad. But they luckily don't ever do that. However, I wasn't in my most recent relationship. We were together for like 6 years, and his family would constantly ask, like, we'd be eating dinner and be like, so when are you gonna push one out for our kid? Like, and luckily I was comfortable enough with them just to be like, yell inappropriate and walk away, you know, leave the table. But as far as society goes, no, I think that that's, I think that's, I feel like that might be harder for especially single parents to deal with than people that don't have, for women that don't have children. I feel like society's got a lot more stipulations on that. But as far as it goes for me, no, I mean, it's never even occurred to me to care what society thinks about what I'm doing with my uterus. I mean, barring reproductive justice, obviously. But no, it's never bothered me. Plus, you know, I mean, I feel like there's probably some federal law out there that says I shouldn't have one anyway. But I just don't feel, I guess I agree with you that I don't feel like there's a lot of pressure from society to have children to procreate because we are, you know, overpopulated, and I don't ever get that from anybody, I feel like, so.
All right, the final question before we begin question and answer is, what are the biggest challenges of being a mother in the 21st century? What are the biggest challenges of choosing not to be a mother in the 21st century, and how do you face these challenges?
Well, it's a little bit easier for me now because being a mother now with my daughter on her own and doing okay, it's not really a challenge at all. It's kind of in a good collecting phase of motherhood, getting the payback. But she doesn't always do so well. She suffers from anxiety and depression. And when she was living, when we were a family in the same place together, when she was living with me, that often was a challenge in terms of my work. Of when she has a hard time, she'll call 5 or 6 times a day because that's her coping skill, which is good, but it makes it hard when I'm in the middle of something else. But I unfortunately wasn't a perfect child, so everything that's gone on in her life, usually I can find something that I had to feel grateful for my mother, and so had to find a way to make room for that in my career. Again, I'm really lucky, and most of the challenges I think of are worse for the people that I serve. I have a wonderful workplace. We have we had somebody who had their newborn there for 6 months, and I actually, whenever I wanted to have a meeting, a tough meeting with another coworker, I'd want the baby there because it kind of added a little different tone to the meeting. So I kind of worked it into my management style. But and kids come, you know, my daughter was sitting in our lunchroom after school when she was a little bit too old for after school programs, but not quite old enough that I wanted her home as long, so she'd be sitting in our lunchroom, as have other people's children and nieces and nephews, been there after school when that was the need. We have sick kids there. We have people can work at home. They can work from home if they need to. So I work in a real child-friendly workplace, and I often, way more often after I became a parent, think about my clients who work in factories or who work in the service industry, where if you don't show up, you lose your job. And that was never a concern of mine. I always was able to handle that. But it is a challenge balancing the work and balancing being a parent, and recognizing that if you're a parent, you're not just looking at what you're doing today, but how that's going to affect them the next week, the next year, and for their lifetime, and having to make the right choices. And how do I face those needs? Well, I'm really lucky because I have family in the area. I have friends in the area. I define family more broadly, partly because of my daughter, who kept calling all these people aunts and realized that they were her aunts. They just weren't that way by birth, but then I wasn't her mother by birth, so that helped me to redefine things in a good way. But and again, thinking about people, if you don't have a support system, how hard that can be.
Specifically, challenges for not wanting a child. I would just like to add to what Casey said. Being single, there's no pressure for you, because why would you want to have a child when you're single? That, no offense. Oh, no, well, I mean, just being single, yeah. Just not having that significant other, why do I want a child? So there's no really specific challenges, but it's more of opinionated. Those conservative thinkers, they disrespect, especially being Hmong. In the Hmong culture, being a good wife, being a good mother, having a family is extremely pushed on you. But as for me, my parents are, they understand where I'm modern, my family's modern. They understand that. They even encourage me, you don't really need to have kids, just because we live across from neighbors who doesn't have kids, and they go out to eat every day. So my parents are always saying, why do I have you? Why did I just end up like our neighbors? So another benefit, you get to eat out every day. Yes. Okay. But yeah, the challenge is just the opinions, but how I face it, like Casey said, I don't care. Opinions. It's not about what others think. It's about what I think about myself.
I would say there's like personal challenges as far as finding balance in my life between self-care, family, being a mother, and being a partner. Teaching my daughter to be like kind but not a rug, having confidence but not being arrogant and annoying, like helping her find those balance, like giving her enough to be like independent but not disconnected. So those are like some of the challenges. The other thing is like kind of career long-term goals. Before having her, I was hell-bent. I was like, I'm going to get my master's, I'm going to get a PhD, I'm going to be out of Minnesota, I'm going to teach, like I had all of this stuff lined up. I don't regret having her. But I'm redefining what I think is important to me and where I think my goals are going to take me, because I did choose to be a parent. And for that choice, it was, now I'm going to try to be the best parent that I can be. And that means that I don't always get to do things for me. And really coming to terms with how often, and realizing how often I was able to do things solely for me. I face these challenges, and this is going to sound funny, but I'm so serious. I've told a couple of my friends who look to have children someday that one of the best things that's happened for us, we had an issue with my daughter, and we had to take her out of a daycare, and what ended up happening was we have her in therapy, and then like I and my husband go to kind of help her manage all of this stuff. And while I am completely not happy about the reason that got us into therapy, I'm so glad we are there, because it's giving us so many good tools to parent that have nothing to do with why we ended up there. It's just nice letting go of like that kind of the pride and the we have to do it alone, or I have to figure, you know, because I don't like to ask for help. I think I can usually figure things out on my own. And what I keep finding is that if I'm in therapy for myself, or if it's couples, or if it's with her, It's about giving me more skills and tools to deal with things. It's not about figuring out what's effed up with me or what's wrong with me. It's about just developing myself better. And it's just been a wonderful benefit for our family to experience that that we totally didn't expect would happen.
As I said earlier, I don't possess those caregiver instincts for children. So for me, there just is no challenge. I mean, it's kind of awesome because I have a badass for a goddaughter, and my friends' kids are fun, you know, so you get to hang out and have those fun, candid conversations that you can with kids when you have the urge to, but then I can also get the hell out of there before the bedtime argument starts. So I feel like there are no challenges, and we are totally out of time.
I think there's time for at least
We have a couple, 2 minutes for questions. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
I would say unwanted pregnancy isn't always challenging. There's no right answer. I would say I'm working with someone who's in that position right now, and I would say just explore all your options as openly and as thoroughly as you can. Any decision is a lifelong, you'll live with it forever. Be open to everything, and your decision could change 100 times before Does that make sense?
And I would just say, in addition to that, I think the most important thing is not to give anybody the power to affect that decision for you. That is solely yours. You own that. That's all you. Don't let anybody make you feel guilty about any decision that you're going to make. Don't let people have that power over you.
Those are really good answers. I mean, I would just say, my advice would be to find people who will tell you the truth. And I would say that if somebody came to me, I'd say, you know, who is going to tell you the truth about their experience? If that's the reason they came to, or saying, I need to talk to somebody about what it's going to be like with a child and without a child. So find somebody who will tell you the truth, because it isn't easy. And as we've talked about here, different people have different gifts. And if you are aware of your gift, you know, you're not going to give your decision making over to somebody else, but if you need to talk it through, make sure you're talking it through with somebody who'll tell you the truth.
Okay, well, officially out of time, let's give a warm thank you to our presenters.